Yes, those devotees can see those pictures of sort of construction going on in the backyard. Because my mother donated for making a rose garden for Radhe Shyam. And the excavation that's going on is actually the old sewage tank reservoir that we had here, which is big, 3 meters by 4 meters, and it's looks like about 4 meters deep. And since it's already there and it's got the brick wall and everything, now we concluded that we could just fill in 2/3 of it and then line it and make a nice kund. So it's going to be a kund, and then on the side of it put that rose garden, which is also very nice. It's also been planned. It's a nice pavilion, actually. The center part of it is a kunj, a rose kunj with climbing roses around the pavilion, similar to the other pavilions that we have, just made from a wood frame, basically a wood frame. And then around it we'll have small little lotus, rose lotus garden. And I think my mother will get benefit from that, spiritual benefit. And then the rest of the garden will also try to redesign, make it nice. Because there's this huge big, for those who've ever been here in the backyard, there's a big sewage container, and then aside from that, on top of that, there's these ferns growing. It was like a jungle taking over there. There's dead space. Now you can see from pictures, it's really opened up. So I have to get our landscape architect, Ali Priya, to redesign it. She already did one design for the whole garden. That was very nice. It was designed like it was going to be an 8-petaled lotus. It went all the way around the building in the middle, and then it became really very, very expensive. So at least this is a more inexpensive version, or at least starting on one part. That's what got my mother inspired. Well, anyway, I told you I'd explain sort of what the political situation, political ramifications are. Basically, this political party is right-wing, not center-right, but right-wing Christian nationalist party, who were in power before, but they lost out and they were out for 8 years. And but the sort of socialist party were center left. They just, in terms of leadership, in terms of politics, they just collapsed. And so this government actually got in by a 2/3 majority. That's a lot. I don't think you have elections, many elections, where people get 2/3 majority. And so, I mean, aside from other things, they're a little aloof from EU. But the leadership is strong. But their Christian agenda is to actually rewrite the constitution And somehow or another in Hungary, all you need is a two-thirds majority in parliament in order to rewrite the constitution, which is pretty strange. But and they've got that. So there are some things, I think, in terms of laws, because the constitution was really written in 1990, and it was written by socialists, that need to be changed. But as far as what it affects us are the religious law. Hungary has the most liberal religious law in Europe. Freedom of religion. They want to write into the constitution that Hungary is a Christian country, which, you know, even God isn't mentioned in the European constitution, what to speak of that it's Christian. There are some countries that are like that. And what they tried to do before, which is when we ran a successful campaign, was to establish a two-level system for religions. One is for what they call the traditional historical religions, starting with the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, Reformed Church, and that they have one set of rights, and then there are other also authorized churches, but they don't get the same benefits. And part of the benefits will have to do with the 1%, which we've been enjoying for the last 10-12 years. That people give 1% of the tax deductible income, that, you know, will no longer be on the list. Another is that to actually determine the membership of a church, they're going to want to take a census, which is extremely controversial, asking people what your religion is. You don't do that in democracies. Keep a track of what people's religious convictions are. But they're going to want to do that. And although, for most part, Hungary is not... there's only 10% church attendance in Hungary. So it's not exactly like a Poland or something like that. But... for the most part, when people are asked, what's your religion, they'll put down that they're Catholic, although they may be complete atheists, etc. But if they have to put something down, they'll put that down. Although, you know, most 10% of Catholics really attend church. So that's... and then on the basis of that, they want to distribute... benefits. They want to establish that the real authentic church is someone who's existed in Hungary for, 100 years and has 10,000 followers. We probably got 10,000 followers, just a question of how it is that we need to define the followers. By doing that, they'll also meddle with tax laws in terms of tax exemption, in terms of taxation on our books, on so many things. There's also what's called the media law in Hungary, which means that religions, all religious organizations have to get time, not necessarily equal time, but have to get time on the national television. And they changed that once before. We changed it back. So that, again, that's only the right of the elite historical churches. And the other one is the college. That they are already going forward on is that our, you know, our colleges, the students are funded, theological college, and they were said that also based on only for the historical churches will they maintain the educational maintenance, and the others have to stand on their own feet. That would really put our college to have to redefine it completely. If it would have to be able to generate all of its own income, which would be very, very difficult to do, near impossible. So those are the challenges. And then there's sort of no end to things that they can do, because there's no opposition. There's no opposition to what they're capable of doing. So I don't know. We get money for food for life, for food distribution. Even now, when we had that, when this disaster is going on, where their devotees are out there distributing food, that they could stop, which would curtail our Food for Life program greatly. They want this to be a Christian country. Whether they'd stop us doing Rath Yatra, I wouldn't put it past them. And there's no opposition. Unfortunately, it's not like they're, you know, it's like a little majority government that they've got 51%. It's not a coalition government where they really need someone else and they have to make concessions. They have absolutely no concessions to make right now. And so that affects our income that we receive from, which is what we sort of built a lot of it, not all, but a lot of it, because a lot of it came from donations. Budapest Temple, all the capital investments in Ubajadam, and that's why we've been waiting for the rebuilding the here. One is because the recession hit and that affected things, so we're sort of waiting for that to sort of abate a little. But if we don't get this finances that we're used to, then our plan for just doing the basic rebuilding of the temple, which was 200 million, $100 million, and that's not the plan that I showed you. That plan that I showed you, that's like runs into many millions of dollars. But this is just a million. Then that's on hold, which is no good because the temple's wearing. It wasn't designed to have like 30,000 tourists a year coming here, and it really needs cosmetic work. But even just doing sort of basic cosmetic work is in the data department that I've been really holding off on, because we actually have a certain amount of funds to gut the data department and redo it, and even the data room. But we wanted to do this part of a holistic thing that connected with the rest of the temple. Since you start taking some things apart, then you just keep going. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll definitely see.